The Federal Reserve's stimulus program is wound down. What was it supposed to do in the first place?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Federal Reserve has wrapped up its second version of the program called Quantitative Easing, a plan put forth to help stimulate the American economy. Quantitative because it involved a vast quantity of money, $600 billion. So did the program ease banks into freeing up more of their cash? Peter Cohen has an economic consulting firm in Massachusetts. He's with us now to explain the program. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Steve.
I want you to sort of scramble your brain for a second and imagine that you're talking to somebody on a talk show and not a business program. What do you tell them when they say, what the heck is quantitative easing?
It's giving money to people, including businesses and consumers, and it's coming through the Federal Reserve.
So giving money how, though? Are they just dishing it? Because I didn't get a check.
No, what happened was that the bond investors got a check, which were basically banks. Over the last 7 months or so, the Federal Reserve bought back $600 billion worth of bonds. So they're trading bonds, and in exchange for the bonds that they're buying back, they're putting cash into the hands of those investors who own the bonds. And here's the funny part. The banks turn around and invest that money in government bonds instead of lending it out. That's why it had no effect, because essentially it went from the Fed to the banks and back to the Fed again.
What were the long-term effects?
Well, they tried QE1. That worked a little bit better, actually stabilized the system. QE2 basically did nothing. And maybe in August when they have their meeting, they might decide to come up with some new method for stimulating the economy. But the fact of the matter is that the key issue in this economy is coming up with 13.9 million jobs for all those people who are looking for work. And companies are doing just fine without hiring people. They had record profits in 2010. So basically, we're not solving the problem.
All right, Peter Cohen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, more than 1% for the Dow, 143 points up, 12,405. The NASDAQ and the S&P each up about a percent or so. Stocks are higher right now for a couple of reasons. Another Greek budget cut vote passed the parliament today in Athens, meaning European loans can now go to help Greece. And there was a report this morning from the Institute for Supply Management that says business activity in June ratcheted up in the Midwest. We also got word the number of people filing for first-time jobless claims fell slightly last week, that from the Labor Department. There's word today the Securities and Exchange Commission is investigating Monsanto. Specifically, the SEC is looking at Monsanto's use of cash incentives to market its herbicides. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Monsanto's Roundup herbicide was a blockbuster for years. Then China made a generic knockoff. To counter that, Monsanto started a program to give distributors cash incentives to buy Roundup. The SEC wouldn't comment, but the federal government has investigated Monsanto for alleged anti-competitive practices before. Monsanto declined my interview request, but in a conference call yesterday, CEO Hugh Grant said the company is cooperating. The company also says it's phasing out the incentives, and its seed business appears to be blossoming. Tim Tiberio is an analyst at Chardon Capital Markets.
I think farmers are not only buying more seeds, but they're also buying better quality seeds to grow more of their crops on the same amount of acres in a very bullish grain price environment.
Tiberio says Monsanto is trying to make the seeds farmers want, and that's paying off. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at MassMutual.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
The Assembly in cash-strapped California approved, and Governor Jerry Brown signed yesterday, a new law that taxes anything residents of the state buy online at the time of purchase. Lawmakers are hoping to bring in more money with that law. But, and it's a big one, this is a controversial road California and other states like New York and Illinois have been down before. The nation's biggest online retailer, Amazon, is now threatening to sever ties with independent sellers in the state that use Amazon to promote their products. That's a move that could provide a loophole for Amazon so it doesn't have to collect those taxes. Declan McCullough is a senior writer with CNET. He's with us now from San Francisco to talk about it. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Now, you know, here in California, this is called the Amazon tax bill. So, I mean, what's the spat all about?
Right. I mean, the state of California is trying its best to find more sources of revenue, and so they're targeting Amazon. Right now, if you're in California, you can buy stuff on Amazon without having to pay sales tax at the time of checkout, and California wants to change that. The problem is that the new law might not be entirely, well, legal and constitutional. It's very untested.
Can Amazon, because I know Amazon is threatening to move its affiliates out of California, and they've done that in other states as well. Can they do this forever, like with every state that comes up with this kind of legislation?
They've done it in about 5 or 6 states so far, so I think the answer is probably yes. I mean, they just need a few states where they can have their locations and their warehouses, and then they can take advantage of current Supreme Court precedent that says basically out-of-state retailers don't have to collect taxes. Then right now they've got warehouses in Nevada, they've got warehouses in Texas, and I think they can actually do this for a while.
So if I were to go and buy something on Amazon today, the law took effect last night, right? If I were to buy something today, they're not going to charge me sales tax.
Correct. Nothing's changed right now, at least in the eyes of Amazon. Whether California is going to send Amazon a whopping bill is a different story.
Declan McCullough, senior writer with CNET. Declan, thanks.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
And finally, there's a story in the New York Times today about how paint companies are trying to sell more paint in a slumping housing economy. They're giving colors an added descriptive splash. For example, Valspar now sells one shade of orange, apricot, that it calls Weekend in the Country. Sounds nice, huh? Benjamin Moore sells Rendezvous Bay. It's basically turquoise. Even Ace Hardware has gotten all flashy. Their beige color is known as Hey There, or as I like to call it, paint. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
At the Aspen Ideas Festival, experts air their savvy on global issues, but Aspen's a two-sided town.
One for people who are there for pleasure, for relaxation and rest and recreation, for, you know, the Aspen Music Festival, the Food and Wine Classic, those sorts of things. And there's another Aspen for people whose labor makes that all possible.
I'm Bob Moon. Dual Aspens, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.